producer Jake Marshall had a chat with Kevin Hackwell, the chief conservation advisor from Forest and Bird. They're talking about new funding that has been distributed out to DOC. I'm going to let Jack take it away.
Kia tau te rangi marie, o rangi nui e tui honei, o papu tuanuku e takatonei, o te tai ao e awhinei I a tātou, tihei Māori ora.
This is the Green Desk on 95 BFM.
It's just come out that the Minister for Conservation has announced an increase in conservation funding, enabling nearly 10 times more of New Zealand's conservation forests to be managed for predators. So obviously you must be delighted by this.
We are. It's been something we've been pushing for a very long time. It's still not enough. It's a third of our forests with this funding will be getting regular pest control, which is really, really important. We'd obviously like the other two-thirds to get it as well. Pests are a major problem no matter where they are. But this is a huge step up that we've had situations where previously the best that DOC did in a normal year was about 200,000 hectares. So the idea that in a couple of years' time we'll be actually doing 1.8 million hectares on a regular basis, you know, normal years, is really good. The bit in between is that, of course, the previous government did respond pretty well to the threat of the beech masting years that we get, where you get this amazing amount of beech seed, produced. It happens only occasionally. That it's the way the trees reproduce. They don't seed every year, but when they do seed, they produce a lot of seed so that it won't all be eaten. And when that happens these days, when we've got introduced mammals like mice and rats, it means that their populations just go through the roof. The stoats, which eat them, their populations then go through the roof. So you get both the rats and the mice and the stoats in huge numbers in these forests after a seed masting event. And then they turn they just turn on the native wildlife. And that's one of the reasons why, so much of our biodiversity is in really dire straits, and why, for example, that some species we only find on predator-free offshore islands, or these days on the mainland in fenced predator-free, places like Zealandia.
Mm. Are those native trees?
Yes, the beech. It's our native beech. It's actually our most common forest type. As it turns out, not only do the beech do this, but the podocarps, your emu, your matais, etc., they also have these masting events. New Zealand is quite unusual. Masting does occur elsewhere in the world with trees, so it's not it's known elsewhere. But it turns out that a very large number of our forest trees do it. So we've got an unusually high percentage, and also unusually in New Zealand, it's not just trees that do it. In forests, things like tussocks, they do it as well. And so New Zealand, our wildlife has evolved over millions of years to respond to these mast events. Before humans arrived and we brought with us, rats and mice, it would have been things like wetters and parakeets, the kakariki. There would have been various birds and various insects, etc., which would have been doing really well when there was the big seed years. There would be lots of food for them. But these days, actually, a big seeding event is bad news for them, because it's going to mean that at the end of the season, they're going to get hammered by the predators.
Mm. And I was thinking about that predator-free goal. I've been reading that over 80% of our birds and 88% of our lizards are actually threatened with extinction. And I was thinking, before even touching on getting predator-free, is this kind of money going to even just stop our birds and things being threatened?
Well, it's crucial. I mean, this is in leading up to predator-free. I mean, we want to get to a point, and that's what predator-free is about, is that eventually we won't have to spend all this money doing regular pest control every year, year in, year out, etc. The whole idea of predator-free is we get to the point where we are developing that technology, and it will be possible, where we actually do get rid of them all once and for all, and we don't have to do it any longer. We just have to make sure we've got good biosecurity and we don't reintroduce these things. And that's a lot easier. So that's the goal. So this step up is huge. And as I was saying previously, on average year, 200,000 hectares, if we're lucky, dotted. But when there was one of these mast events under the previous government, they did... DOC was able to get one-off funding. I mean, a couple of years when that happened, they had to actually, 1 year, they had to not employ staff to pay for it. And after that, the government, you know, was said, OK, previous government said, come to us, make your case, and we'll fund you if we think it's appropriate. The best that happened under one of those mast years was in 2016, where 840,000 hectares was managed, you know, was got pest control because of a mast event. And here we are talking about not a one-off event emergency, but regular 1.8 million hectares on a regular basis. So you can see how it is a big step up.
This is what where we want to be.
This is where we want to be. It's a really big step up. I mean, to say it's not perfect. I mean, perfect would be every bit of a conservation estate would be getting pest control because there are pests just about everywhere. But this is a very significant step in that direction, and we're obviously very pleased, you know, that it's happening.
Mm. And I was wondering, what kind of areas around the country can we expect this funding to go into? Or at least if you don't know that, where would you like to, or where would you expect it to go?
Well, a couple of places. I mean, first of all, and that's what's happened when we've had these mast events previously and DOC's got the one-off funding, it's had to prioritise that money. Where does that money go in one of these emergency years where you're going to have these eruptions of rats and stoats and mice, you know? And DOC has had to prioritise by going, okay, where are we going to see these animals going through, you know, going ballistic and where the threat's going to be high? And given that, which of those areas have, you know, threatened kiwi or threatened bats or threatened insects, whatever, you know, so they then prioritise which areas get help by how many threatened species they might have in them. And that's when you've got a limited amount of money, you've got to do that sort of prioritisation. And that's fair enough. And what it's meant, though, is that it's been great that DOC has been able to do, you know, in the past mast event years, they've been able to do a fair bit of work, but it's meant that they've done it only where there were many threatened species. And so lots of areas which were being hammered by the predators got no assistance in those years. So the biodiversity, the wildlife there just had to buddy take it on the chin. With this increase being as big as it is on a regular basis, hopefully we're going to see them expanding the areas that we're seeing pest control. And you're right, it's going to be places like Northwest Nelson, which is, you know, our biggest single chunk of area that we can do, Fiordland. It'll be some of the forgotten places like the Kaiwai Mamakus, which are desperately in need of pest control.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And so just finally, where would you like to see kind of DOC go in the future? Because we're obviously being green and environmentally friendly is not just a Green Party thing or a Labour, you know, thing. It's in the mainstream. So, where would you like to see this kind of momentum take us?
Well, I think it is part of the ultimate momentum of predator-free New Zealand. So, this increase in funding is really important. It's going to help us hold the line while we develop the technology and the techniques. In fact, it'll help us do that. Develop the technology and techniques for us actually achieving the predator-free goal. And I think that's the key thing. And you're right. Conservation is a bipartisan, multi-party, you know, thing. And what we'd like to see, obviously, in future governments, you know, and governments change, they come and go, is that we'll actually see future governments backing up what this is and then stepping forward again. In a sense, you can see this increase in funding is a step up from the previous increase in funding that the previous government had. So it's about moving forward, and hopefully we'll see a future where the Department of Conservation gets the resources to protect our unique biodiversity, to actually reverse that biodiversity crisis that we're on at the moment, where we're losing so many of our species are threatened, and we want to actually turn that around, and we can.
Mm. So we're trying to put you out of a job.
Oh God, that'd be wonderful. It'd be brilliant, you know. And I look forward to the day when people are ringing us up and complaining about the fact that I kept awake last night because the kiwis outside are making too much noise and those blooming kakapos are booming in Auckland or wherever. And that's a vision, that's a future we could actually have. It's a long way away, but that would be the one where, you know, we'd be out of a job. It'd be great.
That was the Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihe Modi Order.
Hummus on the wire.